Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Cleared throat boys here. we got the clearest pipes in the game, ladies.
Gotta clear them pipes.
What was that?
Gotta clear them pipes.
Clear them pipes if you're gonna podcast. Lore boys here. We're a lore podcast. We do game and tabletop and TV and movie lore. If you've ever been interested in events that didn't happen to people who didn't exist, we're your boys. My name, as always, is Peter O'Donohue, and joining me from, well, just around the corner, really, he's close by, from down in Mexico City.
Hola, señores lore. I'm James Miller. I'm here from Mexico City with a little bit of a Mexican cold.
Could you, I don't speak Spanish. Could you translate? What was that you just said? Sorry.
You gotta turn the subtitles on Discord.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. What's the hockey again? Is it V? Yeah, okay.
It's Alt F4, and then okay. The dub for Jamie is not excellent, but it's all right.
Oh, sorry, I'm back. No, Alt F4 didn't work. That was weird. I, closed the program.
Oh, that's weird. That's fucked up. Anyway, also from Canada, we got Ethan.
Wishing I could be in Mexico, but I applied for it, but hey.
Here haven't you are. Had enough vacations
here we,
recently?
Here we are sitting in Canada, huh?
It's pretty nice down here. It's a lot of fun, a lot of really cool people. Got a nice big Airbnb all to myself, but
nice
I do miss home a little bit too. Yeah, a nice picture of fruit. We'll post that screenshot somewhere.
Fruit painting?
Yeah. It's like one of those party hats, but nobody's wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on a canvas. The canvas is wearing it.
So,
that's where the cleaner comes out of, actually, and she does wear it on her head.
Okay. Oh, really?
Okay, that's nice. Yeah.
So anyway, if you're wondering about the audio, it's because we're recording remote because Jambo's out of town, but things will return to normal, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie's on a shitty work headphone, so. Hence the crackly
voice. It's not so bad. It's my Steel Series.
Yeah. 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 It's fine. You sound good.
Sponsored by SteelSeries. couple of quick notes here, just at the top of the episode. First of all, big thank you. I know you'll never hear this, sir, but big thank you to the YouTuber Critical Rocket, as well as everyone on Sarna.net, where I did, once again, the research for this one. We got a lot of reader mail that we need to get through today. We've got actually three, one of which I just read is fucking hilarious. We'll do that at the end of the episode. People sent that to loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. And we've gotten a few requests from a lot of people. One of the consistent requests that we get a lot from a lot of people who listen to the show is more Battletech. And I decided to turn around and go back to something that I've done a lot of, and we're doing Battletech one more time.
Mecha Paladin is going to be so stoked. He just had me on theme.
Yeah. I told him we were doing more Battletech, and then we've gotten a couple emails as well and comments on our YouTube channel where people are just like on the Battletech videos just like pretty thirsty for it. You're a bunch of thirsty boys, these Battletech folk here.
Battletech's great lore. And this is going to be a lot of fun for the whole episode, but Peter, to the right of you, and behind, your picture's crooked. Just getting out of it there at the beginning of the episode. Now that we have live feeds. I've been to that apartment so many times, I'm sure it's been crooked every single time, and I've never noticed, but now I notice.
So this will be lost on our audio listeners, but behind me is a painting that my girlfriend's father did. It's actually crooked because it is not actually hung up. It is balanced between a molding and a guitar case.
So that's smart. That's smart. Yeah,
nice.
That's good.
It's like that old saying.
behind the plaster on the wall there is all brick, so you can't drive in anything long enough to hold anything up.
Ah.
I don't have a concrete drill handy to put up, you know, paintings.
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of drilling through concrete and weird things, I've been watching Forged by Fire. Holy crap, is that show fun, dude. People just build blades out of nothing, and then it's like chopped, and then people, if your blade's not good enough, you get sent home, and you get sent to the next round, and then like then at the end, they have to go home for 5 days and build a weapon from history, like a Gladius or something. That's a fucking sick show. Yeah, check it out, guys.
That's on, it's on Netflix?
I just Googled it. I found it on the... It's like from the History Channel, so...
Yeah, I don't think it's on Netflix Canada. But it used to play in the break room at work all the time.
Nice.
So
Peter, what the hell are we talking about?
More Battletech. We're talking about crooked paintings throughout the history of the InnerSphere. Everyone has ever had a crooked painting and how annoying it was for everybody talking to them on video conferences. Today I want to focus on a legendary persona throughout the entire Battletech universe. This is somebody I discovered a little while ago and always kind of wanted to cover again. And then today I was like, okay, today is the day we're going to do it. Yes.
So not somebody that we've talked about?
No.
Because we've talked a lot of Battletech. We've done five or six episodes, I think.
This is the sixth one, I believe.
Okay.
I may have mentioned this idea in passing, but today is the first time we're going to focus entirely on the bounty hunter, who is
cool.
Like easily one of the coolest one of the coolest things I've read about in Battletech thus far, and I've read a lot of crazy bullshit about Battletech.
He's on the History Channel, right? Like Dog the Bounty Hunter? I think I saw it after Forged by Fire.
I think he passed away recently, didn't he?
His wife died?
Oh, is it his wife?
Wife or dog?
I don't know.
Whichever one of you is still kicking, tweet at me and let me know you're still alive, whether it be dog or Mrs. Dog.
Yeah, dog, we miss you. Dog, reach out. Your family misses you.
We'll get into we'll be talking about Dog the Bounty Hunter a lot and all of the people that he's arrested in Space Miami or wherever the fuck that show is set. Or is it Vegas?
Probably Reno or something. I don't
Florida.
Know. Yeah. He's a bounty hunter. He must go all over, right?
Which is the state with the least laws?
Texas?
It's going to be like, some southern state. Maybe Alabama? I know maybe. In Missouri, or not Missouri, but maybe it's Missouri or Mississippi. I think it's Mississippi. You can drink and drive as long as you're not over the limit. So you can have a beer in your car while you're driving.
Wow.
That's pretty lawless, right? Like,
I mean, listen, guys, I've been extolling the virtues of taking the queen off our money for a long time, and I'm just saying, sounds like a good idea. All that freedom.
Yeah, but think of all the tea that we have to dump into the harbor.
as far as Dog the Bounty Hunter goes in Battletech, it's not known when the Bounty Hunter started kind of like making their name around the InnerSphere.
Hunting bounties.
Hunting bounties, yeah. All the bounties started disappearing, and people were just like, I don't know what the fuck is happening. I keep putting prices on people's heads, and these heads keep showing up.
That's a strange coincidence. I just said I wanted that guy dead.
I offered money for service, and then services were rendered. I truly don't understand how this works.
There's no way I could be culpable for this.
Yeah, exactly. Did you get a receipt? No? Oh, good. You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
stories of an individual piloting a green Warhammer heavy mech started servicing in the 2920s.
Okay. Now, Warhammer is something I'm familiar with.
Yes. Well, the Warhammer battle mech is one of the more iconic-looking ones that people who like the series would recognize. It's very square, has like two very long arms and like a little shoulder-mounted missile rack, and the cockpit's in the middle, like... It's like in the middle of the chest because it doesn't have a neck or a head. It's like a little square man, basically.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. So this person was piloting a green Warhammer, and they started being, kind of recognized around the InnerSphere in the 2920s. This individual at the time was confirmed to be a man and quickly gained fame and fortune by hunting down some of the most dangerous mech warriors in the system at the time, like taking the hardcore bounties. Was what was going on here, and always like coming back successful.
So always taking the top dog, like prison rules, you get into the yard, you shank the toughest guy kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Instantly and he brought his heavy-chested wife with him everywhere in the passenger seat, and
they had like a bear mace module, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The Warhammer was iconic for being armed with twin PPCs, a short-range missiles, and bear mace launcher, which you know, useless in combat against other mechs, but very good bears. Against infantry
and space bears
and bears.
Dude, imagine you saw a space bear coming at you.
Ghost bear mace is a little plan invasion.
Would it just be a tardigrade? Because they're sometimes called water bears.
Oh, and they can live in space, those really... Right? They're microscopic. Yeah.
Yeah, the unkillable things.
Yeah.
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 They can, like, be frozen or, like, live in, like, burning places. And
they can live in space, like, exposed, as far as I know.
Yeah, no, they can. That's why I mentioned it, because we were talking about space bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're so small, though. I could like, fuck one of those up, dude. I'm not worried about space bears.
You saying you're stronger than space, Jamie? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. I'm stronger than a tardigrade. Well, actually, I say that, but some small thing has infected my body right now, but I think I'll beat it.
I'm stronger than a tardigrade, but all this Mexican pollen is really fucking me up. most of the bounties, as with any bounty, were labeled as dead or alive. But the bounty hunter didn't believe in roommates, so his marks were delivered more often than not in body bags. Dead or alive was not... He's not big on that idea.
Yeah. Well, you gave me a choice. I'm going to choose the dead one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't have to talk to this guy on the way back when I'm like bringing back to whatever planet had a price out on his head, right?
It's an awkward ride.
It's like taking the elevator with someone after you fire them. You don't want to have to do that, right?
I tried to play the quiet game once, and the guy broke the rules immediately, so I just killed everybody since. some of the stories of this man were hard to believe, like stories of him fighting and defeating entire battalions of enemy mech warriors single-handed. However, the most famous story is in this first era of the bounty hunter, while unconfirmed, is still attributed to him. He hunted down and killed 29 people who had robbed a bank on the planet of El Giza.
Okay, like the pyramid.
Yeah.
So they were tomb robbers... Rating a
more than 29 people died to make the pyramids, though, I think.
There's no way to prove that.
Yeah, well, he was going to get the rest of them.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, did some of the slaves survive? I don't not on my watch.
That's it. It was 2,071, or 29,071 people died, and they were like, let's make this an even 3,000. Would you really just go finish off the last 29?
We'll pay you. he collected millions. he collected millions in bounties from the noble house Humphreys, and earned even more when he sold the bank robbers' mechs. So not only did he kill all 29 of them and collect the money from the bounties, he salvaged and scrapped and sold their mechs, which is why this one is just like hard to believe. But they were just like, they're dead. He's rich. All their mechs are gone. Like, I don't know, man.
The back of his mech actually just has a tow truck type thing, and he just towed like 29 mechs all the way home.
Yeah. Got him in a little
line.
How does
he bring those home? Yeah.
Bunch of old lawnmowers and a stove that nobody's using.
Yeah.
Oh my god, okay, I have to tell you guys this. In Mexico, around 11:30 p.m., there's like this car that drives, and there's all this Spanish woman speaking really loud through a loudspeaker. And I didn't know what was going on. I asked the local. It's this person who buys old microwaves and stoves and then puts them in her car and then sells them to other people. What a crazy system.
I mean, anything to make a buck, right?
Yeah, man.
Right?
That's like the NDG guy who drives around here with just like his truck full of old scrap and shit.
Yeah. It's 11:30 p.m. through a loudspeaker, though. It seems like a weird advertisement playing. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Before bed, run down with your microwave and be like, grab a couple of
medieval times. But instead of bringing out your dead, she's just like, she's like announcing she's coming by with the cart over from the microwave graveyard.
Yeah. Or it's like you forget to bring out your garbage, but you forget to bring out your old microwave for the microwave lady. Like, oh shit, is it Tuesday? Fuck. It's the microwave
lady. Anyway, more evidence in regards to these bank robbers was given later on is further attributing like to the fact that the bounty hunter definitely was badass enough to do this thing is because the bounty hunter disappeared completely after the El Giza bounties were claimed. So he was just finished. He was like, you know what? That's a lot of work. I did a good job. So I'm just going to retire with my blood money.
Ready to retire. And he's just like, pieces, and then like somebody writes in like their own blood before they die, the bounty hunter. They're like, oh, it must have been him.
He actually remained inactive for 30 years at this point until 2957.
When his daughter takes up the mantle.
Oh, we don't know. Once again, a mech warrior piloting a green warhammer started to claim bounties on a group of pirates. Okay. This is actually when the name the Bounty Hunter became more or less official, as the pilot of this green warhammer was completely encased in either a hazmat suit or a suit of powered combat armor.
I was really hoping you were going to say when the name the Bounty Hunter S became official.
Bounty Hunter S?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Bounty Huntress?
Yeah.
But so because they were always completely covered in the hazmat suit or inside the combat powered armor, this man or woman now, this is Bounty Hunter back, Bounty Hunter 2. Was there a Bounty Hunter sometime in between where we didn't know? It's just they look the same. They're still an absolutely unstoppable killing machine, and they love claiming them bounties. Yeah, exactly. Bounty Hunter 2, Revenge of Bounty Hunter. I don't know how many sequels we missed.
They drew first blood.
Also, a lot of the patterns were the same. So they would travel around the inner sphere and the periphery, claiming some of the highest bounties available, where once again, the or alive part of the bounty was still basically considered to be meaningless fluff.
Super optional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dead or alive. It's like, there's two choices and I made one. I don't know what people keep getting so weirded out about.
Yeah. Alive is, right? In like quotations on all the
exactly.
Bounties, like dead or alive.
it's like made with real fruit juice. It's like, yeah, I mean, like, you just read past that part.
Yeah, sure. It's like there's still living gut biomes in this dead person, like,
yeah,
bacteria still alive in there.
That's alive. That's how what you wanted, right?
How long does your gut live on past you?
Oh, like decades.
Yeah, probably.
Gross. God, you should die with me. A good gut always goes down with the person, right?
Exactly. The gut always goes down.
Like going down with the body. So people had assumed that the person inside the green warhammer had changed, because if it was the same individual, they would have to be very old at this time.
Yeah.
Right, because they were inactive for 30 years and were already an adult when they were claiming bounties the first time in the 2920s, and now we're in the 2980s, right?
How do they know it was an adult claiming bounties the first time and not like a six-year-old prodigy or something?
Well, they never saw, like, with phone books inside the boots of the power armor.
Yeah. Yeah, and that Warframe's already got the child in the robots covered, right?
Warframe's inside robots. That's taken. Yeah, yeah. Spoilers. That's been taken. So while the Bounty Hunter continued to work alone, they started using a variety of battle mechs. So for this first 3 decades, they were only using the Green Warhammer, but they would also use the Grasshopper or the Griffin, and by the 2980s, actually started working with a few other mech warriors. Always painted the same green, though. The Bounty Hunter was very consistent with style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Red 105, green 204, and blue 0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Always be shooting, always be rooting, always be piloting a green battle mech.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you be a.
It's important to have a good brand.
Yeah, otherwise, people would just think these random murders were being done by different people, and I don't want that.
Oh, there's the whole fear factor too, right? Once you see that green thing, you're like, oh man, that guy's got a list, right? I'm next.
Yeah.
Makes it not shoot straight, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, green is the hardest color to shoot because it's so bright.
Well, why do you think army guys dress in green?
It basically renders them completely invisible.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Duh. So Now they started working with some other mech warriors in the 2980s. At first, these pilots were hired and fired as needed. However, after a few years in the 2990s, their groups became more standardized. So it would be the bounty hunter, 4 to 6 other people, all in the same type of battle mech, all painted the same green.
This really sounds like the plot of a video game now. Like you're alone at the beginning, and then you're slowly recruiting allies as you're progressing through the game and like different missions.
Yeah, the bounty hunter was really upset with Mass Effect 3 and just like,
yeah, for 900 it's like the army though. It's like the army, like you said, a bunch of guys dressed in green.
Yeah. Sounds like an army. Yeah. So actually, Peter, where does most of this lore come from?
This would be from the tabletop. Like the bounty hunter is a peripheral character in the tabletop game, so it would be from the guidebooks and then the actual novelizations as well.
Okay, that makes me horny.
Yes, very horny. I was at Chapters like a week ago and was hoping to find like just a BattleTech starter book, and they're completely sold out everywhere in fucking Montreal. It is impossible.
Yeah.
What?
What? Just sit there.
Yeah. Don't make me come down there. I'll fucking book a flight.
Mexico, I'll beat your ass. You're an hour behind. That gives me extra time.
He could throw the punch and he could be an hour away by the time it gets to you.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how that works.
I'm taking my time zone with me. That's how it works.
Recoils in Spanish.
Whoa, it's weird. Those subtitles were written in Spanish.
We're figuring they would attribute the green color of the mechs to money. Because obviously, Bounty Hunter is only really doing one thing.
Okay, so he's like, bling, bling.
Those C-bills, dog. This change in behavior gave further credence to the idea that the person in the suit had changed. Because the OG, or what people started thinking was the OG Bounty Hunter, always worked alone.
He did
and now
worked
alone with somebody else. Like, people don't change.
People
so it
don't.
Must be a completely different person.
I don't. I still shit my pants since I was a baby.
Yeah. I pee myself moments ago. Fuck it. I did podcasts as a baby. I'm going to die doing podcasts. People don't change.
Exactly.
The other thing that began to change actually at this time here in the 2990s was the bounty hunter's reputation. Because instead of taking bounties on people who had already been deemed criminals, they would start accepting bounties that were simply high. So this eventually led to accepting bounties placed on basically anyone if enough money was up for grabs. So this would be scientists, generals, politicians, or businessmen. Anybody that was the high bounty was finished.
So they're just an assassin now.
Yeah, exactly. Still hunting bounties, but people putting bounties, you know, normally it was like, ooh, I don't want to assassinate no politicians, just criminals for me. And then it was like, started to soften to the idea after a while.
A doctor in a maternity ward? Why should he die? Well, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of zeros. So, yeah. Well, you know what?
The reincarnation
I don't
make
a whole lot of money asking questions.
Yeah, well, the check's got to balance at the end of the day, right? Maternity life is being created. It's also got to go away.
Okay, yeah. That's actually a really good point. So
the doctor probably took out the bounty on himself in that case. Delivers a baby, time to die.
That's it. You got to deliver one and then, one and done, as they say.
Okay. Yeah.
Only so much star stuff doctors to pick up, right?
Yeah. So much entirety of outer space to go around.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just dribbled all over myself.
The bounty hunter eventually embraced this image and started painting currency symbols on their battle mechs. So the C-bill logo, painted on it, as well as wearing a fat ass chain with the C-bill symbol on it. Okay.
It sounds like a sports team, by the way. The C-bills, some sort of seagull or something.
Yeah. We may have made that joke in a previous BattleTech episode.
I think of a bill like a beak
kind
of thing.
Yeah, we have made that joke.
No. We have had this conversation before.
There's artwork out there.
Yeah, there's pictures of it.
It was throwing bird beaks at a robot, a mechanical stripper, is what it was.
Right, yeah.
There was a mech stripping, and somebody in the audience was throwing like seagull beaks at the stripper on stage.
There we go.
We're funny.
Yeah, we put
out some
good
lore.
We put out good, quality, family-friendly content. Tell your kids about us, you know?
The Power Armor eventually also got something spray painted onto the front. It was real NI $$A painted onto where the collarbone would be.
Okay. Real Nissa.
That's not true. That didn't happen.
real Nissa Ravain from Magic the Gathering. I gotcha. Because yep. She's green. She's the green-colored planeswalker, so that makes a lot of sense.
Maybe she's inside the Power Armor. That would explain all the green.
Yeah. Wouldn't explain... It would open up a lot more questions than it would explain, though.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter, you know what? Throw out your script. We're going to spend the rest of the episode talking about what if the bounty hunter was Nissa Ravain from Magic the Gathering, okay?
Okay. Now, Nissa was born on Zendikar. I don't know about her.
She was born on Zendikar. Her like main goal for the longest time was to fight the Eldrazi, but now that the Eldrazi threat is kind of been taken care of...
Mech pirates.
Yeah, well, we're looking at Nicol Bolas again, right? So... which mech has the power of magnets? Because that's probably the one that Nicol Bolas is using.
Oh yeah,
I can put in some good information on this. Mario has a brother named Luigi, and he's green.
Oh,
Luigi could be the bounty hunter. Yeah,
Think it's Luigi inside the mech suit? Okay, so Luigi comes from the Mushroom Kingdom.
Luigi's where... manslaughter.
Princesses get kidnapped, and there's a giant turtle who often shows up inside either mechanical robots or as a mechanical robot himself.
Mm.
So, like, Bowser already has a resume for piloting mechs. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're doing the universe connecting thing right now, because as soon as one of them is a guest, as soon as the bounty hunter is, like, a guest spot in Soul Calibur, it's all finished. It's
yeah.
So eventually, because of this, like, basically we'll kill anybody for money at this point, the reputation of the bounty hunter became one of a man or woman who was actually worse than the people that they hunted. Because this is the crazy part, you have to be some kind of fucked up if your entire reputation is based on hunting your fellow man, and to have that change and make it look bad.
Make it look worse.
It's just like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, this is odd.
I like the old bounty hunter. The people that they killed were much less reputable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I consider the people who were murdered for money earlier to be much worse than the current people.
Some of them were kind of a gray area, but like nowadays, there's a lot of like what seems like good people.
Times change, okay? You can't just keep doing the same thing forever, because people might not, you know?
So our listeners at home won't see this, but I feel like Jamie's walking us into the bathroom right now.
You're sitting on a pooper?
I had muted myself just so I could blow my nose, but now I'm exposed.
I saw you grab toilet paper and walk away, and then like put the phone down. I was like, this is quite the adventure. the joys of recording from a phone, I suppose.
ASMR, but I'm stuffed up in Mexico.
Give us a deep breathe there, James.
One of the most infamous stories of this Bounty Hunter 2 involved them and their team landing on the House Davion planet of Makizian in 2996, killing two army generals along with multiple people that were in their way. Then, while returning back to the part of space controlled by the Draconis Combine, they landed on the mining planet of LeBlanc, hired a mercenary outfit to help them with safe passage, then once they were safe, killed the entire unit and sold their mechs and their dropship.
Damn.
Okay.
Like, completely ruthless at this point.
Just betrayed his or her own people.
They betrayed the mercenaries that they hired on their way back to Draconis space.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, they're the own people that they hired. Not, like the, Arthas... I guess not the real crew.
No, not the four to six people they were with. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. It's I'm talking about a different episode. It's not important.
Oh, okay.
Davion, so, that's Steiner, Victor Steiner Davion was like the hero of the FedCom or the resistance against FedCom?
So he was part of the FedCom Civil War, because that was a civil war between the joint houses of Steiner and Davion.
Okay.
And he was also involved in the clan invasion. I believe he killed Lincolnosis with a katana.
He did. He was the one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lincoln, I remember that. It's been a year and a half. I'm sorry if that's wrong.
The Battle of Two Keyes, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been a year and a half.
I know it would have been after that. Two Keyes when Comstar showed up and was just like, don't worry, the internet will take care of this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Why's the internet got an army? Don't ask questions.
You don't need to know that.
Yeah. Google it. I dare you.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does turn YouTube back on? Army? It's like, oh, that's weird. No results.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let them know. Don't let them know they can just Google things, guys. We're done. Yeah, yeah.
that's our whole shtick, Peter. Can't believe you blew the whole lid off this operation.
So this brutal Bounty Hunter 2 would continue operating this way for the next 20 years and eventually seem to take pleasure in pitting the royal houses against each other. This new hobby led some people to believe that the person inside the green Warhammer had changed again.
Oh, so now we
have Bounty Hunter 3. Some people just won Bounty Hunter 3.
Okay.
Because now it's just like, you know, had your ruthless stage, and now it's just like, now it's the politics stage where you just want to pit the noble houses against each other.
Yeah, okay.
For money.
It'd be like interesting if whenever the bounty hunter fails at killing their bounty, the person just puts their suit on and like, this looks like a good gig. I'll just take over. I'm obviously stronger than that guy.
Yeah. Oh, like some kind of honor system.
Like, yeah, well, like Outlander or Highlander.
Highlander.
Yeah, Highlander. Whenever you kill them, you become the Gladius. Highlander. Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, he fought with the Gladius. That's what I thought of, and that was what we started with. So came
perfect. Full circle. It back. All of a sudden, the bounty hunter is in Soul Calibur. There we go. Full circle.
Yeah, we did it. So from 2998 to 2999, stories circulated that they would hunt down bounties for Colonel Katrina Steiner of the Lyran Commonwealth. So that's House Steiner. Mm-hmm. Where he would present their heads to her.
Okay.
Yeah, so after doing a mech fight, he would pull the pilot out.
The head of the mech or the head of the captain?
The head of the pilot of the mech.
Okay.
And present them to Colonel Katrina Steiner.
Okay.
Yeah, from House Steiner, also known as the Lyran Commonwealth.
Yeah. Not just a metal head.
No. Or not just we destroyed their mech. They would also get the pilot out and decapitate them.
Yeah, it must really suck for when you're playing the tabletop game that they keep taking the heads off your figurines, right? Like, those things cost a lot.
Yeah.
Stop, you're not allowed to play the bounty hunter again.
Figurine in half.
You're always playing the bounty hunter, you're always breaking all my guys.
Break each other's toys.
Y'all just talked on top of each other twice for the same amount of time.
Sorry.
One at a time, please.
Peter and I are always in sync.
Yeah.
You're
this conference thing is hard. So this deal with Katrina Steiner lasted, you know, 6 or 7 years, when apparently they decided to flip-flop and began to hunt down Lyran nobles, politicians, and generals.
Ah, okay. So now I was working for you, and now, fuck you, I'm hunting down your boys.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody else offered me literally one extra dollar, and that's all I'm in it for.
And this kind of plays into that whole, like, pitting the houses against each other, kind of like, I don't give a fuck about your politics or your stupid houses or whatever. Like, no loyalties to that, only loyalties to me.
Almighty dollar, yeah. But also, these people are stupid enough to hire the bounty hunter in the first place, who is clearly a ruthless, money-driven maniac. Just no. Like, he'll work for me.
Yeah, no, like, if I pay him or her, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Yeah.
What happens if somebody pays them more? Is apparently never a question that anybody asked themselves. It's like, nobody could possibly be richer than me, Katrina Steiner.
It's like,
not here in the vastness of space.
Do you really think someone like the bounty hunter would tell somebody else how much I paid them? Come on. You think they don't have scruples? This homicidal maniac rampaging across the universe?
Yes.
What is a scruple? I've heard this word a lot, and I don't know what a scruple is.
It's like a moral principle.
Yeah, so like, someone who's unscrupulous would be immoral.
Oh, that's why I haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
Because
you have a lack of scruples, I guess. Yeah. Which does sound like a collectible in a video game. If you got, like, Banjo has to go collect all the scruples. Where was I here? Right, so this would continue for quite some time. The flip-flopping would continue for several years as they would begin kidnapping individuals on both sides of the House Davion and House Liao space borders, always one-upping their own deeds at the request of the other side that they had just targeted.
Okay.
Yeah. In 3014, one of the most infamous rivalries would begin when the bounty hunter would ambush a Lance of Mechs led by Natasha Kerensky. And Kerensky should be a very important name that we all remember.
I definitely remember hearing the name. Do not remember the relevance.
She is directly yeah. descended from somebody very important that you can go listen about in an older BattleTech episode.
Oh, was that the guy who led them to the Outer Rim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To okay. the periphery. Yeah.
Like George
Alexander Kerensky.
Alexander, yeah.
Alexander Kerensky, yeah.
Okay.
This was a huge deal because Natasha Kerensky is widely regarded as one of the deadliest mech warriors of the 31st century. So not even of her generation, of the entire century. It was just like, that lady right there is basically unstoppable. So the fact that she was defeated at the hands of what we assume is Bounty Hunter 3 is huge and should not be taken lightly.
I'm taking it lightly. You can't stop
yeah?
me.
Yeah. You don't take this seriously?
The stakes are extremely low to me.
This fake event that hasn't happened for 1,000 years? Or 1,000 years from now?
Yeah.
So her unit was ambushed in an area that was once thought to be safe, where she was forced to eject, and the force of the ejection actually knocked her unconscious. The bounty hunter then, to rub salt in the wound, actually claimed her signature mech, the Marauder, and used it as their own, painting it green, putting money symbols all over it. Yeah, and started to use that. Kerensky,
just so I can picture it. What does a Marauder look like? I'm picturing the boxy green ones for the bounty hunters. Is Marauder different from that?
Yeah, the Marauder's called a chicken walker because it's got the inverted knees.
Oh.
It's very low. It's very sleek. It has a huge cannon on its back and two kind of like big arms with guns in them.
Cool.
Sick.
Yeah, and kind of like it's got a cockpit that looks kind of like a bomber from World War II.
Cool.
Yeah. So he, basically defeated one of the deadliest people in the galaxy and stole her shit. Kerensky somehow ended up in possession of the Bounty Hunter's original Warhammer, possibly because they left it just at the site or left it somewhere easy, but they ended up just like swapping mechs.
She didn't even use her tow line on the back that we have established she had to tow
yeah,
away other
boy's
mechs.
Cannon.
That's just lazy.
Their rivalry lasted for years until 3027, where they were both abandoned by their respective employers and forced to work together. The bounty hunter would then disappear shortly after this.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is one thing that we're not going to get into now, because now the bounty hunter in this part of history kind of exists on the periphery of a lot of history that we have covered a little bit or whatever. Yes.
But not the actual periphery.
Not the actual periphery, okay. No.
Confusing no. word to use, that's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry. On the edges of history. Okay. Not on the edges of space.
Okay, no. Like right. The periphery.
Like the periphery yeah. of history.
Love that shit.
Yeah.
Think of time.
It's much easier.
And time and space are related, too. It's doubly, doubly confusing. Yeah.
Jamie, stop confusing the audience, okay?
If there was no universe, there was no history. So think about that, Peter.
You're right. So this is
actually while we're talking about big questions, Peter set his stuff his screensaver wouldn't go on and he wouldn't lose like the recording or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But you have to set it to after never is when the screensaver will go on. When is after never? Is it before forever? So stupid.
It does sound like a song.
Yeah. you broke my brain. I don't know.
Well, we'll carry on in that case. So I mentioned this in an old episode where the Wars of Succession, after the Great Houses, because rich people just can't fucking get along and constantly need to fight each other. Following the Fourth War, Succession War in 3030, which, like I said, I'm not going to get into, the title of the bounty hunter actually passed to a person with a name this time.
Oh,
this was the mantle of bounty hunter was passed to a man named Michi Nokitsuna.
Too late. What? I was going to guess their first name was Bound, their last name was Hunter, middle initial T.
Theodore.
Bound Theodore Hunter.
It was Boone Theodore Hunter, and they were just like, yeah, whatever, Boone T. Hunter, and it just got bastardized like just a galactic game of telephone.
Some extremely tired detective, like, that's it, I think we finally got a name. All right. What do you got, Hopkins? I think first name Boone, last name Hunter. Anything more than that to go on? Theodore for a middle name? wait a minute.
It's like that backwards talking midget from Twin Peaks where it's like, Boone T. Hunter. Simpsons well, reference. Somebody will get that.
Yeah. So what was the guy's name? It was Mitsubishi.
Michi no Kitsuna.
Michi, okay.
Yeah, I said that out loud to myself a bunch while I was writing today, just so I could fuck it up as little as possible. But yeah, okay. Michi no Kitsuna. Of course, because it's involving the bounty hunter, nobody knows everything, and he certainly wasn't talking, because how he claimed the armor and the mechs of the bounty hunter is unknown, as usual. Some suggest that he met the previous bounty hunter and his associate, Vic Travers, during the Succession War.
Oh, okay. Previous bounty hunter's associate, Vic Travers?
Yes.
Am I being dumb to our sleep boy and we talked about him?
No, not okay. Yet. This is the first time he's mentioned, because if they met, it was during the Fourth Succession War, which again, we're not covering right now. Just know the bounty hunter and his associate, Vic Travers. Maybe they met and maybe he took on the mantle.
Okay, so our boy Hopkins, Hopkins, the tired detective, who is spiraling in on uncovering the bounty hunter's secret identity, happened to find this Vic Travers and was like, I'm so close, boss. You got to give me another chance to get him.
I can taste it.
Yeah, and then he retired and Batman Beyonded his way into Michi no Kitsuna.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, he Batman Beyonded it. That makes a lot of sense. no Kitsuna used the identity to hunt down the warlord, Greg Samsonov, because Samsonov, yeah, had, it's G-R-I-E-G.
Yeah, without seeing the spelling, I love picturing that it was G-R-E-G, and you were like, is that Greek? How do I, never seen that before.
With a line over it?
Yeah.
I like that it's just such a plain name for a warlord. Like, usually a warlord will have such, like, a big, powerful name. Oh, no, it's Greg.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a pocket protector.
Yeah, it's a New Zealand Greg.
Oh, I'm Greg. So Greg Samsonov had betrayed Nokutsuna's sensei, Minobu Tetsuhara, which led him to commit suicide because of the shame. Nokutsuna presented Samsonov's head to Tetsuhara's wife, carrying on the tradition of the bounty hunter of decapitating his marks. This would be Tomiko Tetsuhara. However, she wasn't super into the whole trophy head thing and told him she didn't want to do that anymore. So following this, Nokutsuna gave the bounty hunter's armor and mech to the previously mentioned Vic Travers.
Okay. So yeah. Vic Travers is getting re-outfitted.
Vic Travers. Yes.
This is just written in so people would stop getting their models' heads broken off, I'm pretty sure. It was a big problem.
Give them an identity, finally.
No, don't break the models. Give them to Vic Travers, and then Vic Travers gives them back to your friend completely unharmed.
Exactly. Travers would then use this identity to mostly take out his competition. In 3047, Travers violently and publicly executed a woman named Isabella Singus, because she was going around calling herself New Bounty Hunter, and he was upset by this because this is an actual quote. She was stealing his shtick. Which is still an expression in 1,020 years. People still say that.
No, that's my thing, see? What does she think she's doing? She can't do that.
Yeah, and she was New Bounty Hunter, just like New Goblin or New Coke.
I'm New Bounty Hunter. We're blue now.
Yeah, exactly. She just like, we're blue. He was just like, nah, she's ruining the whole thing. I'm going to publicly execute her.
Yeah.
We have an episode about this as well that you can go listen to. When the clans invaded in 3049, the bounty hunter appeared less and less. However, it is likely this is due to his taste for clan blood, as the majority of his new marks were from Clan Smoke Jaguar, which, again, we covered in a previous episode.
And the clans had better mechs than the homeworlds, right?
Yeah. They had better mechs and genetically augmented pilots and soldiers.
Oh, yeah. And so
because they took science with them when they left. And left nothing behind.
Mr. Nokutsuna is not keen on getting these new mechs?
He's not the bounty hunter anymore. Now it's Vic Travers.
Oh, right. Sorry.
To our knowledge.
Okay.
We also don't even know if Vic Travers is a real name.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've never met a Vic before. So.
Yeah. I've never met a Travers. That's a ridiculous name. So he had a taste for clan blood at this point, so people didn't see him that much because he spent a lot of time hunting down Smoke Jaguar clanners, and actually managed to claim a new battle mech from them, which would be the Timberwolf or Madcat. That's okay. Two names for the same machine.
Madcats went out of business because they tried to make all the Rock Band peripherals, and then Rock Band didn't do as well as they thought. Remember Madcats, the controllers?
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, he was claiming all the plastic guitars from the Inner Sphere.
Yeah. Yep.
What were you going to say, Ethan? I saw you raise your hand there.
I was just going to say Madcats is the small, quick one from Mech Hunter. Did I get that right?
No, it's fast for its size, but it's a heavy mech. It's got It also looks like a World War II bomber. It's got two big missile racks on its shoulders and then two kind of low laser arms.
Okay.
It's also a chicken walker.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel as good to drive as the regular one that comes with your N60.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You give that one to your little brother, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was the clear plastic battle mech that had the lights on the inside and it didn't vibrate.
The buttons were like functional, but they were in the wrong place, like just kind of off.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But and it did have that turbo.
It was like cheap plastic.
Yeah.
So it hurt your hands after you played Smash too much.
Yeah, it did have like turbo buttons, though. That was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, which is fucking sweet. That's what made the clan mech so much better was turbo.
Yeah.
So that was in the 3040s and 3050s. And then finally in 3067, old Vic Travers was feeling like he should probably retire. He had been grooming a new bounty hunter to replace him named Walt Urizman. But of course, this is one of many aliases that Urizman used. And even the wiki hyperlink redirects to the top of the bounty hunter page. So oh, yeah. I felt like a crazy detective getting misled. I'm like, who's the bounty hunter, guys?
And
shit was crazy.
His real name, Vic Travers.
Sorry?
His real name, Vic Travers.
Vic Travers. So anyway, this is when he was feeling like he was going to retire. He took one mission that didn't really go anywhere, and that he didn't end up doing on Solaris 7, which is like a gladiator planet. But then he took on one more job. His actual last mission involved the capture of Kai Allard Liao, Duke of the planet of St. Ives. He was hired in mid to late 3067 by Duke Gregor Hasek, and then Travers manipulated mercenary companies and nobles to draw Kai Allard Liao out.
Okay.
So he goes crazy in this one here. What's up?
Is it fair to assume that Kai Allard Liao's hands were very soft if he's on the planet of St. Ives?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody there is so moist, Travers, let me tell you.
Oh, gosh.
The atmosphere is mostly coconut oil. You can't grow anything. The soil is barren. It's so greasy you can't drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by manipulating all these people, he actually learned that Kai Allard Liao's young daughter was not actually in a safe house, but attending a normal school under a fake name. So Travers kidnapped her, challenged her father to single combat for her safe return.
Okay.
Sick.
Kai Allard Liao for a time was considered to be the deadliest mech warrior alive. So another guy with like a huge, like big dick reputation here.
Got a rap
However,
sheet.
Even he was defeated by Vic Travers as the bounty hunter.
In Spanish, that's Pene Grande.
Yeah. However, this bounty was stipulated working. Specifically, there was no dead or alive in this one. He was left alive, and Travers even returned his daughter safe and sound after leaving the system.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then the bounty hunter, after doing this, would disappear again and then return as Walt Urizman, or that's what we assumed. Who they were. He remained under the employ of House Karita during this time and even saved Karita multiple times throughout the Blake Jihad in the 3070s, which again, we have an episode about.
A whole episode.
Yeah. Yeah. A whole episode about the Blake Jihad. How about how a cult arose around the communications network and then, you know.
It was like if there was a cult dedicated to Amazon that tried to take over the world, which is eerily. Like, possible? Like, that just seems way too realistic to make me comfortable.
Yeah, well, that would be the Bezos Jihad, which is close.
Well, pretty...
Yeah. Or a group of people who went onto something, maybe like Reddit, and then if they heard anything about anyone, they would dox them and attack their family. It's kind of like a cult, you know?
It's like a cult.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If they could travel through space and also control all the communication networks.
Right.
So that was during the Blake Jihad in the 3070s. How long Walt Yurisman was the bounty hunter is unknown. However, it is confirmed that the bounty hunter was active during the Dark Age, which again we have an episode about, and they were last seen in 3115. However, after a botched job, they disappeared for over a decade, the longest period of inactivity since the 3050s.
Just like any good celebrity with a botched nose job, you disappear for a while, right?
Leave for a decade, yeah. Come back as Iron Man.
Yeah. Oh, what?
It was like Robert Downey Jr. Went to jail for possessing an obscene amount of cocaine, and then came out of jail, recovered, and now is Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you've never seen a movie.
That's one kind of nose job, I guess. Putting a bunch of coke into it. But.
Yeah. It's putting a lot of work through the nose.
Yeah.
Either way. Yeah. And it's all very expensive, no matter what.
No. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So the apparent identity of the bounty hunter would change again during the Dark Age. Of course, the Dark Age is when the communication network basically went 99% down, so it's even harder to understand what the hell's going on here.
Okay.
And then it changed to what was apparently a man named Michi Fraser. However, this was very likely a made-up name by an individual with great knowledge of the history of the bounty hunter, as this name is a composite of the previously mentioned Michi Nokitsuna and one of the bounty hunter's past associates named Deacon Fraser.
Okay.
Yeah. So the chances are pretty fucking slim that this was this guy's real name and then he's also the bounty hunter, or if there's even a guy inside the suit in the first place. Because again, unless it's explicitly stated, no one really knows.
Or there is a god and then he has a plan, Peter. Do you ever think of that?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry. we forgot to open this episode with that.
Yeah. God's plan.
But now the bounty hunter has been operating as like a character that people cosplay as, but also makes them all basically immortal killing machines, which is kind of crazy to think about, right? Like everybody who's ever assumed the mantle of bounty hunter is just fantastic at murder all the time.
Nobody thought I was anybody until I put on the mask, right?
Yeah. Or because they're all wearing power armor, maybe the bounty hunter itself is, this is a Loreboys fan theory because I'm a maniac, maybe there's an AI in the suit that actually pilots the person, and they just use a human as like a front. I don't know what the state of AI in the BattleTech universe is like, so that is like I just completely just making that up.
Yeah, I'm the suit.
Yeah,
not the suit is me, and I'm the suit. Like they're using me. I'm not using it. That's interesting.
Yeah, like nobody would trust an empty suit, so they just put a person inside of it because just the hollowed out mask is untrustworthy.
I can't imagine in the past the year 3000 humans are allowed to drive anything. So,
self-driving power armor?
Cuz that's just reckless, right?
Yeah. Elon just Musk's an empty helmet there. With like a paper mask of a person that just says trustworthy on it.
It's like in 19 early 2000 sports games when you see like the audience, it's just like one of those people like projected into the mask. It's just like a really shitty low res like polygon person just like waving their arms behind
a mannequin head with sunglasses on.
Yeah.
it's like in Ferris Bueller that when his mom opens the door and it like rolls away from the door or whatever. It's just one of those.
And like It's the best kept secret in the BattleTech universe where like every mech pilot knows that they're not piloting their mech, but every mech pilot doesn't know that nobody else is doing it. So it's just everybody's just like, no, I totally pilot my mech. Oh yeah, me too, man, me too, all the time. So they all just have like these elaborate.
The president, they tell you about the aliens. It's like that's the thing when they give you your mech warrior degree. They're just like, hey, by the way, the thing just does it by itself.
Yeah, we don't need to put you in there and put your life in danger. Yeah,
through no fault of your own, but it's cool. It's like if a self-driving car gets to an accident when you're in the driver's seat. Like, who gets blamed?
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah.
That's and a problem.
The Bezos Jihad.
Yeah.
There's your episode title. So this incarnation of the bounty hunter, this composite name, what was it again? Oh, Michi Fraser.
Fraser.
Landed on the planet of Irion in 3133 and immediately engaged with the leaders of Clan Spirit Cat and the Steel Wolves. Okay. These are two factions we have not talked about at all because at this point, the Bounty Hunter's story has gone further into the future than our episodes have. So this is really where I'm going to wrap it up.
Because the last thing we talked about was the Blake Jihad. Like, the last chronological thing we talked about was the Blake Jihad?
No, we did talk about the Dark Age, but more how it started and how it affected people. None of the actual politics.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll cover them at some point. I mean, there's so much Battletech lore that I could just do this forever. But, like, I'll circle back to, like, some of the more political stuff as I become more confident with writing these things, because that's where you get, like, you need to be very good at putting things together instead of just like factoids and jokes that I normally do.
Yeah,
because like you'll need to remember specific people and everything they've done for it to make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
And the way it ties in together. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not very good at the fake politics yet. I'm working on it. So these clans, the Steel Wolves were new, by the way. These clans were attacking the faction known as the Dragon's Fury, which are a Dark Age militant group who wanted to return all the previous Draconis Combine planets to their ancestral ruler. So I've mentioned the Draconis Combine. They're one of the great houses. Now there's a separate unit called the Dragon's Fury trying to get all their planets back after the Dark Age fucked all that up.
Okay, cool.
The Dragon's Fury is under the leadership of a woman named Katana Tormark. So I'll talk about her one day because she's fucking cool.
That's a fucking cool name.
Yeah, exactly. Katana Tormark, and she's just like, I'm taking space back.
I'm pretty sure the last episode I watched of Forge and Fire, that's what they made, actually, was Katana Tormark.
You gotta make a Katana Tormark. She employed the Bounty Hunter for quite some time, and after the defeat of the Spirit Cats and the Steel Wolves, she gave him a new Marauder 2 battle mech, which is a lot like the Marauder that we talked about earlier, just upgraded because it's the 3130s now, instead of the original Marauder, I think, was made like 250 years ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. He painted part of it emerald green and named it the Nokitsuna after his own namesake. Because remember, he took the first name of Michi Nokitsuna, and now he's named his Marauder 2 Nokitsuna. So, as I said, the Bounty Hunter does go on a little further than this, than we've been on the podcast, so I'm not going to carry on to the final incarnation, the final and most infamous incarnation of the Bounty Hunter, because there is one more that we know of after Michi. But that's going to be the end of the Bounty Hunter for now.
Okay.
The cliffhanger.
Yeah, I hope when we do the next era in, or the next epoch in Battletech, that we'll get a chance to, that you'll remember to talk about him, because I'm so edged right now. I'm like,
you're what?
I'm so edged.
let me take a bit of that edge off. The next iteration, the final iteration of the Bounty Hunter, possibly the best version, just goes by Jonathan.
That's a fucking cool name, though. That's a fucking cool name. Eat your heart out, Katana.
Katana Tormark and Jonathan the Bounty Hunter. Yeah, that's it. That's our Bounty Hunter episode. Cool. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I loved researching it. Like I said, when the hyperlinks would go back to the top of the page, I was just like, he's real. He knows I'm looking for him. Sort of shit. So, whoops. So, yeah, that's it. I've been your host,
Peter
O'Donoghue.
Peter, you want to walk us through some viewer mail?
Do I want to walk you? Well, we've got two. So do you have Gmail up right now?
I can pull it up.
Because I'll read the first one here, because this one made me laugh out loud when I found it. This one is actually from this morning. Okay. And if you guys want to join the ranks of these illustrious maniacs, you can send us an email at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. So the one that I'm going to read here is from a man named Steven, and he actually sent a follow-up to us after we replied, so I'm going to read his first one and then his response, because Steven, if you're listening to this, I almost spit my drink out when I read this email. So the first one we have here is, hey guys, big fan here. My favorite podcast is the Witcher podcast. It may be because I loved The Witcher 3 so damn much, but hey, who knows? I really hope you guys could do more about the Witcher history, and I missed the longer podcasts, which is something I've heard a couple times, but I don't know if we can go back to the 3.5 hour shit. Not right now, at least.
It's such a tax on us more than anything.
Yeah, exactly. he says, I'm now on the Stardew Valley podcast and can't wait to hear more. I love you guys so much. Keep it up. And if you guys are really going to do Kingdom Hearts lore, I would say get the podcast members of Got It Memorized they can help you. Oh, excuse me, got it memorized being a different podcast. Yeah, we'll keep this and we'll consider reaching out, definitely. I responded by thanking him and all that good stuff. And then finally this morning, he sent us a follow-up email. Hey guys, sorry, but I listened to your guys' podcast more than I realized and never told you guys my name or where I was from. I'm Steven, and I'm from New Jersey. You guys can leave this part of me forgetting to tell you guys out of this podcast if you guys ever do a shout-out to me or not. It's your podcast. Do whatever the fuck you want, but keep up the amazing work.
Yeah. Awesome. So I guess we'll leave that part out.
Yeah. Just bleep out that whole answer. Yeah,
yeah. I got one from Woody. Who wants us to do a Gundam episode. He says specifically a series on Universal Century, and if that's popular, an episode on Wing would be groovy. Thanks for the tip, Woody. I've been meaning to look into an episode on Gundam because I have a friend who's really, really keen as well, a friend who's also a listener who's been telling me to do it for a long time.
I've been thinking about it since I started doing Battletech because they have a lot in common.
Yeah, for sure. Woody also says, keep up the great work. Love the Battletech eps in particular, which seems poignant to mention on today's episode. Thanks so much, Woody. Thanks so much, Steven, for your feedback, for your comments. Honestly, like, it's the best feeling to wake up in the morning and to see, like, oh, you got a new email, and it's like one of you guys just reaching out about something about the podcast. It's like an awesome feeling. I've been Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man. Our 100th episode is coming up in a week, I think. We're not prepared.
Ooh, not that. No, Jamie's going to be back from Mexico for 100. 100 definitely, because I did the most recent artwork, and it's like 89 or 90, so we have like 10 weeks.
We have 98 episodes on our hosting service right now. That's all I'm saying. And we're putting out an episode today, so that'd be 99. But we do have some, like...
There's the update. Yeah, there's like that update one where we're like, hey, we're not going to be making an episode. There was the E3s. I think we could swing it that our 100th is all together. I hope so anyways.
For sure. We're going to do something special. So it might not be like the actual 100th episode, but we'll do like a 100th episode special or whatever. And we'll just call, like we'll go 99-101 and then release some kind of spectacular episode. If you guys have ideas of the kind of shit that you would like to hear us do or say, we have a couple ideas that we're still brainstorming. Full of shit. but if you guys have ideas, please like let us know. Email us, tweet at me, at Ethan the Dead Man, at Loreboys, Loreboys Podcast.
Yeah. Well, I was actually thinking it'd be cool to get a couple testimonials. So if there's any of you out there who feel comfortable recording like 15 to 30 seconds of what you think about the podcast, we might put it in there because I really like that idea. But like Ethan said, we're still brainstorming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
where can I find you, Jamie, when you're not in Mexico?
You can find me mostly on Steam lately, JAYMILK64. My picture is of an elephant seal. You should be able to find me. Also play Warcraft. James Miller underscore TLB on Instagram if you want to follow all of my adventures in Mexico. I'm chronicling them, and that's it for me.
And for anybody who wants to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon. I think it got paused because we're shit heels who don't put out episodes on time. But we do mean to be better at that. So it's going to get unpaused at some point. We only have the one tier right now, which I don't know. It's $3 a month, I think, something like that. It's just a nice little way of saying thank you. If you're not interested in that, we do accept custom drawings on pieces of paper. And that goes towards your Loreboys Prime membership, which is different from the Patreon. We had to stop accepting cash as a membership for tax reasons. It got really weird. We're being audited right now. It's uncomfortable. But Loreboys Prime is
the most stressful time of my life.
Yeah, Loreboys Prime this week is a pretty special thing. As you guys know, being a Loreboy is much more a title than an actual name. Nobody here is actually named Loreboy. It's just we assume this kind of suit that we pilot together. And for anybody who signs up for Loreboys Premium and sends us a custom drawing to our P.O. box, which doesn't exist, we will put your name on the shortlist to be our successor when we're eventually killed in action.
Yeah. You could also just write your testimonial and put it on one of those candle-powered paper lanterns. It'll find its way to us, don't worry.
Yeah, they always do. It's crazy.
They
I
always
have so
do.
Many.
I don't get it. It's weird.
We also accept C-bills. So if you do have C-bills, the auditing system doesn't really account for those, so we can take them.
Yeah. A nice way to slide it past Uncle Sam, you know?
Yeah. yeah, especially sending it to Canada is the easiest way to slide it past on
Mexico to Canada. Just like hop right over.
Yeah,
is that what
like
Canadian
right country?
Is that what Canadian money is called? Because it's like bills from Canada, so it's C-bills?
C-bills, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Haven't been there in a while.
But, and that constitutes?
And no, oh, I haven't.
I thought you already
did my outro.
You did yours first.
You can find me at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter, and I'm catching up on my work. You can check out 3 new images on the Lore Boys podcast on Instagram. And also, I did want to plug this. We are 9 subscribers away on YouTube from having a custom URL to make that easier to find. So this was actually be the only time that I would like 9 of you to go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's the Lore Boys, and then we can get a better URL for that.
Listen,
and not
Jim,
one more.
Jim, Melanie, Scott, Thomas, Bethany, Diana,
Greg,
Peter, are you subscribed, Peter?
To our yes. channel?
Yes. On your personal account?
On my personal account,
Peter,
I'm not
you go double check that. You go double check that. I'm not sure that I am. I have 2
no,
YouTube accounts. I'm not
right
sure
now.
I'm subscribed on either of them. We might be able to just handle this ourselves, honestly. And that constitutes.
We don't need you at all. We'll just take care of this.
And that constitutes.
That constitutes.
Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Dab dab dab.
My name is Peter, and this is a test for our remote round table.
Sorry, wait. I was talking there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I talked. We all started at the same time there.
Oh.
You left such a pause.
Yeah, like, I froze up. I'm not used to this.
It was so polite.
Okay, well, here's my audio test. What about you, Jamie?
And this is what I talk like.
Here's my fucking audio test.
Yeah.
Jesus. Not like Dead Space.
When I played Raven Home for the first time, I was obviously very young. The game came out in 2004, and it mortified me.
Yeah, those little head crabs, they hit you, and then they get the neurotoxins, so you go down to 1 health. It's like,
the poison ones, yeah.
Yeah.
They're also like, they also take like 10 bullets to kill, but if you hit them with a crowbar once they die, you're just like, I don't get it. Gordon wielding a crowbar in 1 hand can kill a monster in a single hit, but then he has to shoot 5 times. Just, why do you carry a gun at all?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.